Welcome to this episode of the Mind of the Escapist podcast. This is a podcast centered around film, video games, television, anime, and more. I'm your host, Terrell. In today's episode, I'm going to review Scream 6, which I've literally just got back home from watching. And I'm going to give you a quick overview. So I've said it many times, but I haven't properly delved into my love of horror on this podcast yet. I've briefly mentioned at certain times how much I love the horror genre and how much that shaped my interests in film and other mediums as well. Growing up, I watched horror films very young, and one of the franchises that I watched at a young age in my teenage years was the Scream franchise. And I always feel this nostalgic feeling to the Scream franchise. I think the first Scream film is one of the best horror films ever made, and I think it set a standard for the type of kind of self-referential, self-aware type of film, especially in the horror genre. And of course, it was an iconic film for that reason. I've never really found any of the sequels to be even close to the original in quality. And it's weird because I know I've seen them frequently, like for a lot of times. Number two and number three, especially. But after a certain amount of time, I tend to forget what happens in those films. They're quite forgettable for me, although I've seen them quite a lot. But I do think, if I remember correctly, that I'm one of the rare people that actually prefers number three over number two. And then, of course, there's number four, which I remember number four quite vividly because that came out in 2011. I think I was 15 at that time. And I remember that being a big deal because at that time it had been like a decade since the third installment came out. And I got to see that one in the cinema, aged 15. So that was a big deal around then, being able to see my first Scream film in a cinema. And I remember liking it back then. But then I do recall watching the film last year prior to the release of Scream 5 and not liking it as much as I remember, which is interesting to me. And then, of course, Scream 5 came out last year, which I didn't review that on any platform. I dropped my reaction for that on Twitter, but I didn't review that on YouTube at the time or anything like that. So my opinion of Scream 5 is that I enjoyed it, and I think I enjoyed it just for the fact that it was the return of Scream. I think I just enjoyed the spectacle of seeing a new Scream film, especially because it had been another like 10 years or 11 years since Scream 4. So I enjoyed it. But I was ultimately underwhelmed by it overall because I did predict the killer within the first 20 minutes of the film, and it was what I thought it was, and I felt that quite underwhelming because of that. And yeah, so I've not really thought too highly of Scream 5. I think it's an okay film. I think it's good, you know, but nothing too special. I stayed away from the marketing of Scream 5, of Scream 6, sorry. Of course, they announced that it was going to be set in New York, which I thought was an interesting change of pace. But I was very skeptical when they first announced this film, because to announce a new film, they literally announced this film literally a month after the release of Scream 5. And with this franchise, ever since the third one came out, of course, this franchise has been laid dormant for a decade. And then a new installment comes every decade, which I think actually serves this franchise in particular pretty well, because it gives the franchise and it gives the horror genre enough time to grow and expand and change, so that every time a new Scream film comes out, there's new tropes and new kind of characteristics of the horror genre at that present time that it can then make statements on in a self-referential way. And I think it benefits the franchise that it has those gaps to allow the horror genre to change in certain ways so that it can comment on it. Whereas as soon as they announce this film, I'm thinking, okay, this is coming a year later. Nothing's going to really change in the horror genre in a year later for them to make any different type of statement on the horror genre compared to what they did in Scream 5. So I was skeptical in that regard. And also because I didn't feel too strongly about the film anyway, I wasn't really that interested in seeing another one. But here we are. I watched the teaser trailer, which was like basically almost like a clip of the scene on the Metro train station in New York City. And then I avoided all the main trailers. So I went into this one pretty fresh because I didn't know the direction they were really going to try and take the story. Now, what I will say straight off the bat is I think there's a lot to like about Scream 6. I think there is a lot to like, and I'll make that very clear to begin with. And that being said, I do feel like the film doesn't fulfill its potential, which is a shame. And where I think it really falters with its potential is its location. This is the first film in the Scream franchise set outside of Woodsboro, and it's set in New York City. And there was an opportunity there, in my opinion, to make the city feel like a character, especially a city as vibrant and big as New York City. This city should have felt like a character in this film, and the whole franchise itself should have felt really rejuvenated. It should have been like a shot in the arm for the franchise to have it in a completely separate location like New York City. And outside of a few sequences that were good sequences, I feel like it faltered, just missed getting to the finish line in that aspect, in fully delivering on the potential of setting a slasher in New York City, which is a shame because, like I said, there's a few great set pieces in this film, and some of them are unique to New York and give you that New York feel and remind you that you're in New York. But I just can't help but feel like there were a few other landmarks and specific locations within New York that they never used, which they could have, which would have made this film more unique and would have made New York feel more prominent in this film. An example of that is, say, Times Square or, say, Central Park. Those are two locations, iconic locations in New York City, that they could have utilized in some way for kill sequences or tense, suspenseful sequences that would just remind you, yeah, this is New York. This is a different setting. We can do different things here because it's an entirely different place from what we've used in this franchise before. And I just don't think they took full advantage of that like they could have. The last slasher film, obviously there's going to be more slasher films or horror films that I can't think of off the top of my head, but the last major slasher film that I can think of that was set in New York City was probably Jason, like, I forgot the name. Is it Jason Goes to Manhattan or Jason Takes Manhattan? And that was a long time ago. That was like either the late 80s, early 90s. And I don't know, I just felt like this film had an opportunity to really kind of go balls to the wall with this version because you're in this new setting. And that goes for the violence and the kills as well. I really thought this film could have taken it to a new level. Now, what I'll say about the violence and the killing is, Halloween Kills came out a few years ago, of course, and that was a very controversial film, and I understand why. And that film has its flaws, without a doubt. But one thing I greatly appreciate about Halloween Kills is how much it commits and delivers on the bloodshed tenfold. Like, that film, you know, when it comes to the killing, it delivers on that. And like I said, the film is very flawed, but if there's one thing that film gets right, it's the kills. And I think there weren't as many kills as I hoped for in this film, in Scream 6. And I don't think they were anything that would end up being that memorable when time passes on, if that makes any sense. So as time moves on, give it a year or two. I mean, give it a couple months and I'll probably forget most of the kills in this film. I think I've kind of started to forget them already. But I don't think the kills will be anything of note to look back on. That's basically what I mean, which is a shame. Because I feel like Scream is a slasher franchise that is very much deserving of iconic kills. And I don't feel like there's enough iconic kills, especially outside of the first installment. I don't think there's enough iconic kills in this franchise. And I thought that this new setting could have reinvigorated the franchise and given it a new lease of life and given it an avenue to really do something more creative with its kills, and once again more unique to New York, and just to make it feel a bit more different. But I felt like they didn't really get there. And like I said, with Halloween Kills, there's one thing that film gets right, it's the high body count and the merciless killing. And I just think that Scream 6 could have gone further in that regard, which is a shame. But what is there in terms of the kills? They are still brutal. I just think they could have taken it further, but they are still brutal when they do come. And there's a few of them that, you know, kind of get a reaction out of you when you see it occur. So they're by no means bad kill sequences, but I just don't think there was enough of them. And one gripe I have with this film, I was going to save this for later, but I'm going to get to it now because it's kind of related to my point that I'm making. This film cops out in a few areas, which really frustrated me. And it's one of my main negatives of this film, actually. And I don't have too many negatives with this film. But what I found very frustrating about this film are there some characters who ought to have died given their altercations with Ghostface, and they somehow miraculously survive. And the reason that negatively affected my opinion on the film as a whole is because it reduces the consequences in the film. And it also felt a little cheap when you're in situations where certain key characters should be dead, realistically, given what happens to them. And then the film kind of just out of nowhere reveals that they've survived. And it's like, really? And it's like, if you're going to do this, it kind of just lessens the impact of everything that's going on around them. Because it's like, well, what are the stakes here? You know, if a lot of these characters can survive quite, you know, nasty injuries and attacks, then why should I be too invested in their story if it feels like they got, you know, plot armor on? And I think that is one of my biggest issues with this film, is that, because it left me feeling a little deflated about the film as a whole, just because it felt like there was not enough consequence for what was going on in the film. Going on to linking back to the kill sequences themselves and the set pieces themselves, I do think this film has some very good set pieces. And like I said, some of them are New York specific. There is one set piece in fact, there's two set pieces within an apartment. But the one I'm talking about is not the kind of showpiece sequence in the apartment. I'm talking about the other one. There's more of a low-key sequence in an apartment. And I'll just say it involves a ladder. That sequence I thought was very good. It was very tense. There was a lot of build-up to it. You could kind of see where it was going to go, but it was still very fun to watch it go in the direction you thought it would. And then the payoff of that scene I thought was quite grisly and very effective. There's another sequence that is on the metro. So this is what was shown in the trailer. That might be the standout sequence of the film. I didn't realize they were going to do as much as they did with that sequence. Based on what the trailer showed, I thought that was kind of going to be it, but they actually do a lot more with that sequence, and they play around with it and build suspense in that sequence for a lot longer than I thought they would. They use the lighting and the flickering lights of like the metro train really effectively. They use the paranoia of, because the whole thing with this sequence on the train is this Halloween night and everyone's dressed up and you've got multiple people dressed up as Ghostface, but you don't know who the real one is. And there's some cool Easter eggs to other horror films in that sequence as well. But they play around with that kind of paranoia really well in that sequence. And I thought that was a very good sequence, an effective sequence in the film. And like I said, probably the standout moment of the film. And there's another sequence that's set inside a bodega, which was also in one of the trailers, actually, because I saw a lot of images come from that when the official trailers came out. And that was quite a tense scene as well. And it was a different setting to see Ghostface running around a bodega with a knife, you know, in such a close quarter situation, trying to stalk his prey. So that was another good sequence. So like I said, there are a lot of good set pieces in this film, and it's those set pieces that are like the backbone of this film for me in making it as enjoyable as what it was. Another really effective sequence, and one of the standout sequences of the film without a doubt, is actually the opening sequence. Of course, each Scream film has a very distinct opening set piece, and this one is certainly one of the best ones behind the original film, because it takes what you think is a familiar approach and you think you know where it's going, and it actually does a good job of kind of upending your expectations of how the scene's going to go. And then it starts to go in certain areas, it will go where you expect it to, but then it starts to reveal other little details which change up the formula a bit. And it's a much longer opening sequence than most of them, if I remember correctly. But I think the way it utilizes its actors in that scene and plays with your expectations, I thought was really effective. Another aspect that I liked about this film, and like I said, I didn't watch any of the main trailers for this film, so I didn't actually know what this film was going to be doing story-wise. And I was quite pleasantly surprised, and I enjoyed how this story builds upon Scream 5. And shows more of the long-term aftermath of what occurred in Scream 5. And uses that to continue to develop some of the cast from Scream 5. And continue their arcs. And things that were kind of implemented into Scream 5 in certain character arcs, they kind of build upon it a bit more here. Albeit it is pretty predictable still. But it's better than having too many fresh faces. Or a whole cast of fresh faces with minimal development and starting again. I just kind of like that it feels like a continuation of Scream 5. The two main leads in the film, so that's Jenna Ortega, who's obviously very popular now because of Wednesday, and Melissa Barrera, who play the sisters Tara and Sam Carpenter. I thought they were good in this film, and I thought their dynamic and their chemistry together as sisters worked once again, just like it did in the previous film. I remember Melissa, who plays the older sister Sam, I remember people criticizing her in Scream 5. I didn't think she was all that bad in Scream 5, but I do think she's probably better here. There's a lot of development around their characters in terms of how they have moved on, or potentially not moved on, in the aftermath of the previous film, and how that affects their relationship as sisters. And I thought that element of the story actually worked pretty well, and I thought their performances were pretty well. But Jenna Ortega, in my opinion, you know, she continues to shine as an actress, and she was a cut above everyone else, in my opinion. She's got that real star quality as an actress, in my opinion, and she's still very young, and everything I've seen her in, she kind of really stands out for the right reasons. And I think they were very lucky to have casted her in the last film. And then of course she's got much bigger because of Wednesday, and then they still got her on board for this film. I think it was kind of a lucky find to be able to get her on board in this franchise prior to her becoming even bigger, akin to what she is now after the release of Wednesday. As for everyone else, unfortunately, or most of the cast, some of the performances were quite questionable. Now you've got Hayden Panettiere returning as Kirby. She was in Scream 4. This is the first time she's returning to the franchise. Now, Hayden Panettiere is an actress, someone that I used to, you know, when I was in my teenage years, someone that you kind of fancy, you have a crush on. It almost feels like she's dropped off the face of the earth because I've kind of forgotten about her. And I don't even know if she uses social media or anything like that, but I don't see anything online pop up about her or anything like that. So she seems like she's been quite obscure in within the last 10 years. I don't know if she's been acting a lot. I don't believe she has, and judging by this performance in this film, I think it's quite clear to see that she hasn't been acting much as of late, and that's just because she felt a bit wooden. There's a few scenes where she's supposed to be conveying emotion and it just seems a bit too forced and in an unnatural way, but because it's her, I almost give her a bit of a pass because of what she used to be. And it was still nice seeing that character return anyway, but I just don't think the performance was that great around it. And there's another male character in this film who's the love interest of Sam, and he wasn't that great either. That performance was very subpar. And then the rest of the returning cast, they were fine. They were just as good as they were in the previous films. Now, the referential and self-aware elements that you come to expect from Scream weren't present in a major way in this film, and that goes back to what I said at the start of this review. The reason why I believe these elements of the film weren't really that present this time around is it's a result of how quick they made this film, which, like I said, is just a year after the last one, when usually there's a longer period of time, which allows for the horror genre to evolve, which in turn gives the writers new tropes and things to comment on. But in this film, it just felt like those particular aspects that they were highlighting were more like an extension of what was already covered in the last film. So, of course, a lot of people come to Scream for that commentary, because that is what makes Scream Scream at the end of the day. That's the unique factor of Scream that no other film can do to that level. But it just wasn't that prominent here. You get one key scene where they kind of go into the ins and outs of it like you expect, and you know, some of the things that were said in that scene were kind of funny, but it wasn't too in depth like you'd expect. And that's because there hasn't been enough time between the last installment and this one. There were some nice horror Easter eggs in the film, of course, which you also get in the Scream film, and I appreciated those too. But that's my thoughts on Scream. This isn't really a long review. What I will say is I do, in my personal opinion, I think it is better than Scream 5. And my reason for that is, like I said, for me in Scream 5, I enjoyed the film, but it felt like it was lacking in areas. And then especially when it got to the end and it revealed things, it felt too predictable. And I think the predictability of Scream 5 is what really let it down for me. Whereas this film, whilst predictable in areas, I think it pulled off its other aspects a lot better. And I just realized I'm coming to the end of this review and I haven't even spoken about the reveal. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I did like the killer reveal, and I liked the motivations for what they were doing. I'll leave it at that in that regard. I approve in terms of the reveal, and I think that's something that for the franchise as a whole, I don't actually think I've really been all too satisfied with the killer reveals in this franchise. I watch a lot of giallo. Giallo films are one of my favorite subgenres of horror. And if you don't know what that is, that's Italian horror films where they're like murder mysteries. The American slasher genre was birthed out of the giallo genre in like the early 60s in Italy. And the tropes of that is you usually get the mass killer, you know, black gloves, black jacket, kills. And those films are all the mystery. And you find out at the end, you know, it's a guessing game, and you find out at the end who the killer is. And I love that genre, that subgenre. So I'm very accustomed to watching slasher films with that kind of whodunit mystery going on. And I just don't feel like, once again, outside of the original film, the Scream franchise has really capitalized on that in an effective way and delivered very satisfying reveals. But I do think this film has one of the better reveals and one of the better motives that make more sense. So I'll give the film that. Definitely. But the other thing I'll say is, when you look at all the actors that have played the killer in these films across the whole franchise, because of how iconic that original film was and how those performances were so iconic, there's almost a tendency for actors to really want to play up the psychotic side of their characters once they're revealed. And what I'll say is, for this film, when the reveal occurs, the actor in question, I think they were a bit too, they overdone the performance. They played it up too much. And I think it was a bit too over the top, the way in which they performed after the reveal. I'll just say that. I think it was a bit too overdone. Overstepped the mark a bit. I think if I was the director, I'd rein the performance back in a bit and try and ground it a bit more, because it seemed a bit too forced with the way they were acting. But like I said, in terms of the actual reveal itself and the motives behind the reveal, I think for the most part it works. Another thing I'll say about this film is you've got an element of emotion that they're trying to hit throughout this film. There's a few scenes where you're supposed to really feel for what's going on screen, and I didn't. You know, and I, like I said, I'm a fan of the franchise, but I didn't feel anything. That's my thoughts on Scream 6. Like I said, I think it is worth watching. If you want to have a good time, watch Slasher. I think it is worth going to watch with a crowd. I think it's quite fun. You know, there's some cool kills, some great sequences, some great, you know, use of suspense in certain scenes as well. Some of the performances are good, some of them are a bit iffy. The reveal, I think, is worth it in the end. And yeah, I mean, it's a shame they didn't fully maximize the potential of New York City as a setting. And I've heard that there's potentially going to be a Scream 7 now that they're going to want to try and fast track and work on. God knows what they're going to do with that. But what I did randomly think whilst watching this film is there aren't too many slasher films set in London. And that needs to happen. I'm not saying it needs to be Scream, but we need more horror set like in the heart of London, like central London. Yeah, that just needs to happen. But that's my thoughts on Scream 6 anyway. Evil Dead is out next month and I'm really excited. And I should be watching that fairly early. So when I do my franchise recap of The Evil Dead, I'll go through each individual film because I do love those films. Maybe talk about the game as well, because I've got the game and I've been playing that. And then I will hopefully be seeing Evil Dead Rise early. So I'll be able to get an early review up for that next month. But yeah, thank you for listening to this review. And I'll speak to you guys in the next review.